Thank you, Chaturatma Prabhu, for that wonderful introduction, and I am very, very grateful to each and every one of you who is here today. I have a small request, that is, unless you're sitting at the back, is it possible to come closer together? Come a little closer together. Thank you. We will chant a short prayer so that we may become a conduit of the great sages who have come before us and who have taught the truths that we are going to be discussing today. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurum Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lagita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavada Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Shri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have a confession before I start. May I? This is my first Sunday lecture. I've never given a Sunday feast lecture before. And I'm especially grateful that my mother, she's somewhere here, who's visiting from India, actually came to see it. So it's a double whammy. Today's topic is what God promises you. Okay? Let's take a moment, take a deep breath, and let that sink in. What God promises you. Right? Now, how many of us have at least once in our life received a promise from someone only to find later that that promise has been broken? What happens when we experience that? Do we feel happy? When promises are broken, it's not just the promises that are broken, it's our hearts that are broken. So promises are special because it happens between two people who trust each other enough. You do not go around telling random people on the street, "I promise you something." Right? Only when there is a question of trust, then promises become important. How many of us has seen a currency note, at least in India I have seen it, I haven't noticed the dollar bill so well. I promise to pay the bearer a sum of these many rupees. Right? So the currency note says, "I promise that if you carry me around and you go to the shop or you go somewhere, if you put this money, you'd get an equal value's worth back." Right? Now we know that, you know, unless the government says this currency note doesn't work anymore. And by the way, that actually happened in India just a couple of years back. One morning people woke up and heard, the money we have in our pockets is not real money anymore. The promise was broken. But people say it was for a good cause. So I won't comment on political stuff on a Sunday feast lecture. Right? But you see what a promise is. Two people taking a vow that they would hold up their end of the bargain. And it only happens when two people become very close. However, you know, God happens to be this one character who never shows himself or herself, gets people to argue about him around the world, have fun, at least that's what the books say, and get away with it. Now, would you, if I say, "All right, I have a $10 bill in my pocket and I don't want to show you," would you believe I have it? If I don't prove it, it's not there. But God happens to be the something who gets worshipped by billions of people, never turns up. Never turns up. And yet manages to get away with everything and still claims billions of dedicated worshippers, right? Only God could pull something like that off. Humans can't. And what's special about today is that we have one particular incarnation of God, Lord Sri Ram, who promises something to each and every one of us sitting in this room, including the ants, right? Not just humans. Every living being gets that promise. You know what the promise is? I won't tell you, but here is what we could do. Try uttering the sound Ra. I can't hear you. It's like such a boring class. No. Louder. And Ma. It's something that happens when you chant those two syllables. Right? Something that happens. And that has something to do with the promise that God makes to you. All right? Could we go to the next slide, please? Somebody said Rama in a very sweet way. So what we're going to do is talk about God's promise to you. But since professors love talking and showing off, what I did for you is brought some pages of a manuscript on the life of Lord Ram. It was composed in 1649, so before this country was born. Right? Now, after this manuscript was prepared, it got split into two. Half of the manuscript went to Britain, and the other half remained in India. right? And if you know the history of India, you would know practically anything that is of value usually is in the British Museum. Right? And so, when I was a student at Oxford, I used to sometimes go to the British Museum, and I felt, Jesus Christ, I am in the largest crime scene on planet Earth right now. Anything of any cultural value from any civilization outside of the Western world is there. But many years later, scholars from India and scholars from UK got together, they pieced the manuscript together, got it digitized, and now it's online. So I'm going to show you some pictures on what made God promise whatever he promised. All right, could we go to the next one, please? This is the promise. Can somebody read it? Just the translation. It is my vow. That is Lord Ram's promise to you. Okay? But there is a caveat. There is a if. And that if is Sakrideva Prapannaya, right? Prapanna is the key word there. Prapanna means to surrender. And say with sincerity, I am yours. All right? Now, my run-in with Lord Ram was quite accidental. I grew up in Calcutta, and there was a betel nut shop right under my window. And every morning at 5 a.m., remember, I wouldn't wake up for Mangala Arati, but the shop owner did. And every day I would wake up to a song that played on repeat. I didn't like it. Ram, Sita Ram, in this tune. Sita Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Can we hear this? Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Now that you've done it, you've already taken that first step towards Lord Ram, where he is going to promise and keep his promise. Could we go to the next slide, please? And here is how the promise works. Can we please read that verse? Someone or all of us together. Just the translations. Merely by... You've already done it now, right? Of course. Merely by pronouncing the sound Ra, all sins fly from one's mouth, and fearful they might rush back in, the sound Ma, shut it again like a door. That is Lord Ram's promise. Every time you sound Ra, whatever sins there are, they'll rush out. And if they try coming back in, Ram. Right? And the Sanskrit dictionary says, who is Ram? One who delights the yogis is Ram. One who delights yogis is Ram. Have you heard of a city called Rome? Roma tomatoes? Romantic? Have you heard of those words? Roam about doing nothing? It all comes from the root Ram, which means to roam about and delight. And Ram is someone who delights others. Right? And so once you utter the name Ram, the sins that you have, it goes out. And once you close your mouth uttering the name Ram, they can't come back in. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the descriptions of Krishna Leela, where he says that the names of the Lord dancing in your tongue is like Krishna dancing on the hooves of Kaliya. Once upon a time there was a snake, a very poisonous snake. And everything around that snake got poisoned because of his presence. The water of the Yamuna was poisoned. The air was poisoned. And nobody could go near where Kaliya, the snake, lived. And somehow, Krishna, by trickery, ended up defeating Kaliya and dancing on his hoods. Because today is Ram Navami, I will not get into the details of Krishna Leela. But Thakur says that our tongues are like that snake, because the food that we put inside our body decides the condition of our health. Shariro avidya jal jarendriyo tahekal jibe phale bishoya sagore. Who's ready to go? Sorry, I know you're fasting. Tar moddho jihvayati lobhomoyo sudurmoti take jeta kotino sangsare. So whatever we consume, unless it is touched by Krishna, it is poison for the body. And whatever we utter, unless Krishna is dancing on the tongue, only poison comes out. However, Krishna dances on Kaliya, gets the poison out. And that's the power of the name of the Lord. Right? Krishna's names are sweet, but Rama's names are powerful. One who always respectfully, and I can read it from here, remembers the two syllables, Rama, attains release. In this Kali Yuga, even for religious practices, nothing else qualifies those with muddied minds. Does that resonate? Muddied minds? At least it does for me. This is by an unknown author from the Sri Vaishnava tradition. Right? And here is what our acharyas say why this day is special. So many, many thousands of years ago, for those who are hearing the story for the first time, there lived a king called Dasharatha. Ratha means chariot and Dasha means 10 chariot. A king who could command 10 chariots at the same time. But once, because he unknowingly shot the son of a Brahmana pilgrim, he got the curse that just as you have taken away my child, may you never experience the joy of a child. And so the king, with his entire kingdom, was heartbroken because he had no child. And then the sages came together and decided that there is a way out. They called the divine powers, and very soon the three wives of King Dasharatha had children. Kaushalya had Lord Ram. Sumitra had Lakshmana, and Kaikeyi had Bharat and Shatrughna. These four brothers were Lord Vishnu himself in four forms. And in the Treta Yuga, according to Shastra, these four brothers were inseparable, and the same four brothers came, the Chaturvyuha comes back, as Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha and Pradyumna in Krishna Leela. Right? But it's a complex point we won't get in. As these children were growing up, they became very dear to the father. But one day, a sage came and said that we live in the forest and we are trying to do our spiritual practices, but there are some people who come and disturb us and kill us and destroy whatever we're doing. The only person who could do anything about it is your young son. So please give me your son, and he's going to go to the forest and he's going to take care of these ogres. And Dasharatha was heartbroken, says, no, I cannot do this. But eventually he relented. And for the first time, King Dasharatha found out the real glory of his son. And could we go to the next slide, please? And the next one. Yes, what you see there is the children being born to the different queens and King Dasharatha in the middle. Can we go to the next one? Next one, please. Yes. Do you see there? On the top right hand, you have Lord Ram sitting on the floor and Dasharatha sitting on the throne. And Lord Dasharatha promises. Remember, today's theme is promise. Lord Dasharatha promises, Ram, you shall be king. And immediately you see at the bottom what's happening. Once the news spreads, everybody is celebrating because the whole kingdom loves Lord Ram. Right? And now Lord Ram goes and takes the blessings of everyone who was there. But there was a lady who was a rumor mongerer. You know what rumors are? Rumors are untruths that are presented as truths. And faster than truth, untruths spread. Right? So this rumor mongerer came to the mother of Bharata, one of the brothers, and said, you know, when Ram becomes king, he is going to treat you so badly. He is going to kick his brothers out because they are his political enemies. What you should do is go to your husband and tell him, remember, you promised me two things once. He said, yes. He says, go and tell him that you want those promises to be fulfilled today. So what should I ask? He said, the first promise is Ram will not be king, Bharata will be king. The second one is Ram will be banished for 14 years and he has to live in the forest. And in those days, if you're banished for 14 years, you never come back. You're gone. So she thought she cleared the path for her son rather than Ram to become the king of Ayodhya. And the father could not keep his promise. And he says, you know, there is a law in this kingdom that anybody who kills the king gets to be the king. So do one thing, you kill me. I challenge you to a fight. And Ram says, are you crazy? You're my father. How can I fight with you? So I'm telling you. Everybody will be so happy if you are king. So let's fight a battle. And Ram said, no. Promises must be kept. If you have made a promise to my younger mother that I shall go away for 14 years, then I shall go away for 14 years. What kind of a king are you if you break your promises and everybody in your kingdom thinks that this emperor is characterless? So he shows the sentiment of the people and he preaches to his father, keep your promises. And soon after, could we go to the next slide? Next one. Soon after, Lord Ram decides to exit his kingdom. He goes to the forest, spends 14 years. And there, there, something terrible happens. His wife got kidnapped. Now, how many of you have heard of the English word ravenous? There was a person whose name was Ravana, who was ravenous. In fact, the two words are cousins. The English word ravenous is the Sanskrit word Ravana. So there was this guy, ravenous, and all he wanted is if he saw anything good, he wanted it. And Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishayans Pumsha Shangaste Shupajayati. That means whenever people see something and they take a fancy, they want it. Right? Shanga changjayate kama, that is desire, kama. Kamat krodha vijayate. If that desire is fulfilled, you will be bored. If that desire is not fulfilled, you will be angry. That's the nature of that desire. Right? Kamat krodha vijayate. Krodat bhavati sammoha. When you are overwhelmed with your anger, your brain gets clouded. Sammohat smriti vibhrama. Once your brain is clouded, you lose your memory. You don't remember who you are. You could be arguing with your son, like King Dasharatha saying, kill me. Sammoha smriti vibhrama, smriti vibhrama buddhi nasha. Then your analysis or analytical skills is totally gone. Buddhi nashat pranashyati. Then there is a downward spiral. Right? Now, how many of us have played snakes and ladders as a kid? You know, you keep building up a little bit and suddenly you hit the mouth of a snake and poop. And then you start playing again. The material world is a world of snakes and ladders. And by chance, you might get a dice that gives you 6, a dice that gives you 3. You don't know what's coming. And suddenly, say you hit 6 and you take the thing and you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and you realize you're at the mouth of a snake. For a second you thought you won and then you realized you actually lost. And that was the reversal in Lord Rama's life in the eyes of all those who loved him. They thought Rama is becoming king. He's just killed all the demons. He's so great. Now he's married to Sita. Now we'll live happily ever after. And when everything was set, suddenly everything was gone. But Lord Rama said, I promise I will be back. And if Lord Rama promises something, he will keep it. There is another promise that the Lord makes. Can I tell you that promise? Who wants to hear? I'll only tell half the promise because I see half the hands up. The Lord promises that if my devotee promises something, then I will break my promise to keep that promise. That's the only condition in which the Lord breaks His own promise. Right? In the Mahabharata, before the battle of Mahabharata happened, Sri Krishna, and if you read the book, I highly encourage you to read it after you've finished reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, you would see Krishna was an utter genius. This is what he did. He had the best trained army in the country. And he said, I promise I will not fight this war. So the two parties, one side gets my army, the other side gets me as a driver. Okay? Now think about it. If you had the most powerful army and they were standing across enemy lines, will they shoot arrows at you? Only Sri Krishna can think like that. So Krishna gave his whole army to the people who wanted that army, knowing very well that it is his army. And they're on the other side, they can fight all they want and he's safe. So he said, promise. I promised my army, take it. And to Arjuna he promised, yes, I'll be your driver. Right? But he made one promise, and he said, whatever happens, I will not pick up any weapons. No weapons in this war. Now, what kind of a warrior are you if you can't pick up a weapon? And Bhishma, who loved Sri Krishna, said, I make a promise. I am going to make you pick up weapons. Let's see who wins. And Krishna said, oh, Krishna. No, Krishna didn't say that. But when a devotee promises something, Krishna is known as aghatano ghatano potiyoshi. Means he can take a very, very bad situation, turn it completely around, and keep his devotee's promise. So when Bhishma was fighting, and he was practically killing Arjuna, Krishna got so angry, he took on the spare wheel of his chariot. And he took that wheel and ran, ah! I'm going to kill you today! And Bhishma said, see, I made you, I promised that you're going to pick up weapons. Krishna threw the chariot, the wheel on the ground. That's not a weapon. And in this way, Krishna had to keep the promise of his devotee by picking up the weapon, even though he promised that he will not pick up a weapon. Right? Similarly, Lord Ram promises that once, if you, just for once, with your heart, say, Ram, I am yours. Tava asmi. Can we say that together once? Let's close our eyes. Put our hands on our chest. And on this special day of Rama Navami, let us, with all our sincerity, tell Lord Ram, Ram, I'm yours. How does that feel? Feels good? You're one step closer to Lord Ram fulfilling his promise. And he said, Sakrit. Sakrit means right away. Now that you've said it, you've already signed the contract. You know, sometimes you go to buy a car and they make you sign this yellow piece of paper and the car is yours. You may not drive home with your car, but you sign the paper. Now the payments are due. The car will be yours. It's a question of time. The payments are due. What is that payment? Singing out, reaching out, calling out the Lord's name with all sincerity. And Lord Ram will listen to your prayers if you do these six things. Are we ready? Are we ready? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Doino Atmo Nivedano Goptritte Varon Avasya Rakhive Krishna Vishwasya Palon Bhakti Anukulo Matra Karjero Shikar Bhakti Prati Kulo Bhava Barjanangikar Saranga Saranagati Hoive Jahar Tahar Prarthana Shane Srinanda Kumar. So in this today's date, instead of Srinanda Kumar, we can say Dasharatha Kumar. But Doino. First, you know, think about it. Every time you've asked for help, did you have to tell yourself that this is beyond me, I have to reach out for help? I can't do this myself. You try to pick up a heavy weight and you realize, oh my God, my back broke. Right? You say, I need a dolly or I need someone's help. So that acknowledgement that I am not enough is the first step. Doino. By myself, I have tried everything. I can't do it. Second, when you give yourself, it's important to apply yourself fully. Alright? And here's a little poem about promises. Are we ready? As children bring their broken toys, and some of you may have heard it before, it's my favorite poem. And we see a lot of children around the temple today. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He was my friend. How many of us have done that? Remember, growing old is inevitable, but growing up is an option. So in the eyes of Lord Ram, we are all children. And we bring our broken dreams to God because He is our friend. As children, bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend. I brought my broken dreams to God because He was my friend. But instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with methods that were my own. We have our sense of timing, and God has God's sense of timing. Just because prayers are not being answered, we think, oh, what's happening? You know, maybe I'm just like wasting my time here. Mm-mm. At last I snatched them back and said, God, how could you be so slow? Has it happened? My child, God said, what can I do? You never did let go. We look for help, we pray, we think we surrender, but we never leave our hearts at the feet of Lord Ram without terms and conditions. We bring our broken toys for God to mend, but we can't wait, and we snatch them back and we say, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong. Whatever is wrong with us. Right? And so to apply oneself with humility are the first two steps. Doino Atmanivedan. Goptritte Boro. Know that you have a roof above your head, you will have shelter. You know, you're not Superman Infinity. It doesn't work. When we are young, we think we are invincible. Or when we are younger, we think, my daddy's strongest, my mommy's strongest. And then we grow up and realize, actually, I can't even clean myself. Right? And someone has to cook for me. We are helpless in the hands of other people for almost 10 years of our lives. If it wasn't for something that protected us, none of us in this room would be here. Goptritte Boro, that is the third thing. Knowing that I have shelter. The fourth thing is Avashya Rakhibe Krishna or Avashya Rakhibe Ram Bishash Palon. Bishash means faith. To be convinced in your heart, no matter what happens, I will be protected. I have nothing to fear. And remember that verse, Lord Ram says, for once if you say, I am yours, there will be nothing to fear. If you are afraid of something, it's happening in your mind. It has nothing to do with Lord Ram. Sometimes, those of us who have children might know this better, but children get night terrors. You know? They're screaming and yelling in the middle of their sleep, and then they start walking around. And, you know, the parents who are awake might feel, hey, wake up, what's going on? And they don't wake up. Remember, while we are in this material world, we are having night terrors. And our teachers, our well-wishers, the Vaishnavas are trying to wake us up. Right? Fifth, bhakti anukula matro karjero shikar, accepting what is favorable. And bhakti pratikula bhav borjon andikar, rejecting whatever is unfavorable. Sharanga sharanagati. If these six things are practiced diligently, then the Lord will listen to your prayers and reciprocate. The promise will work. Right? And here's the last thing I have to say. After Sita Devi was kidnapped, taken to Lanka, Lord Ram gathered a whole army of monkeys. And among them was one called Hanuman. He was a magical monkey, could fly through air and do things not even Marvel comic superheroes can do. Seriously. But Hanuman is an example of what it means to surrender. And what it means to surrender is explained very well in a commentary where Lord Hanuman is flying back from Lanka after having seen Sita. You know, in Sanskrit, there are no word orders. Like in English, you have to arrange your words. In Sanskrit, you can mix words around. So when Hanuman is flying back, he's thinking, Lord Ram is in so much anxiety. If I tell him, Sita saw I, he might think Sita is dead. If I say, saw Sita I, he says, what has he seen? I saw Sita, he says, he'll only think about myself. He'll think, I only think about myself. So Hanuman is doing grammar in his head while flying through the skies to meet Lord Ram. That, my friend, is surrender. To constantly meditate on how we may please the Lord. And the commentaries say that Lord Hanuman represents the Guru, Sita represents Jiva, and Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anytime anything ravenous kidnaps us, the Lord will send the Guru to wherever you are. If at least once you have said, Ram, let's hear you, Ram. Tava asmi. I am yours. Sita said it. Ram sent a barrage of monkeys. He even constructed a bridge, putting stones inside the ocean and making a path all the way to Lanka. Because he will keep his promise. Right? But Ram also promises one more thing, that when he loves dearly, he will teach how to love more dearly. If the Lord loves you dearly, he will teach you how you could love him even more dearly. And the only way you can love the Lord dearly, or anyone dearly, is when you experience separation. So, the life of Lord Ram, from a material vantage point, is a serial disaster. Serial disaster. About to be coronated the king, you know, auntie says, no, my son. Goes to the forest, wife gets kidnapped. Gets kidnapped by someone who is his sworn enemy, tries to fight, his brother is dead. Hanuman, go get some medicines for my brother. Hanuman doesn't know where the medicine is, gets a whole mountain. Right? When the battle is won, one thing happens. Ravana, who was his enemy, says, you know what? Ram, I'm yours. And now Lord Ram has to forgive his own enemy. Right? And so he put Vibhishana on the throne, Ravana's brother. And now he's made a promise as a king that I will always uphold the four legs of dharma: Satya, Saucha, Tapa and Daya. Satya means integrity. Saucha means cleanliness. Tapa means enterprise and endurance. And Daya is empathy and compassion. These are the four legs of dharma. And Ram says, no matter what, I will uphold this. And when some people in his kingdom began to complain that a queen should never leave the side of a king, we don't know where this queen went, she cannot be a royal mother, Ram had to take the most heartbreaking decision of his life and send his wife to live in the ashram of Maharshi Valmiki. And Maharshi Valmiki was the one who wrote the entire story of Lord Rama down. And Ram had two children, Lava and Kusha, who learnt the entire epic of Ramayana. And Ram had no idea that he had two children. He was sitting, ruling, and then one day somebody told him, there are these two kids who knows too many personal details about your life. Shall I call them? And Ram says, yes. And so Lava and Kusha comes to Rama's court, Ram Darbar, and you can see Lord Ram standing in court on the altar. And these two children start reciting the story of Lord Ram to Lord Ram. And Ram said, only one person can know so many details. Who is that? And so, Ayana means the movement of the sun through northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere. Ayana means the journey of a hero. Ramayana is the journey of hero Rama. But remember, this is love. Rama let Sita decide the narrative of his life. So in the Ramayana, when you see complaints about Lord Ram, that is promise. That is his promise. He is holding up his promise that I shall forever love you and I will not open my mouth even when you say things about me. Because Sita was upset. And she taught the story of Lord Ram to his children who went and told Lord Ram, here is your story. And Ram said, oh, here are the mistakes I made. What can I do? Let me at least go and tell Sita sorry. And once he goes to meet Sita Devi, she is gone. My friends, that is love. That is Rama. And he promises, if for once you say I am yours, because in Sanskrit I don't have I love you. It's, you know, those, what do you call, three magic words. In Sanskrit you have Tava Asmi, I am yours. If you say Ram, Tava Asmi, I am yours. So Sakri Deva Prapannaya, right at that moment, the moment someone says, I give them Abhaya, I give them fearlessness. And how does that fearlessness come? Through the agency of the Guru, no matter where you are. Chaitanya Bhagavat says that Shei Shishya Dhanno Jena Chhare Prabhur Charan, that student is glorious who never leaves the feet of the Master. Shei Prabhu Dhanno Jena Chhare Nijo Jan, that Master is glorious who will never leave the ones who are beloved to him or her. If ever the student goes away from the shelter of the teacher brings that student back holding their hair. Pull them by their hair and bring them back and put them back. This is why Vaishnavas have a shikha. You know, because sometimes people ask, you know, why do you paint tuning forks on your forehead? People don't know. That means the feet of the Lord is on our forehead and the shikha is there so that the teacher can bring us back. Right? So Ram's promise is, even if you get lost, I will find you, I will bring you back. No matter who takes you, where you go, you are never lost to me and I am never lost to you. So on that note, I want to thank you for listening patiently. Mother Mukhya, who is the temple president, wanted me to make a short announcement, which is, we have for the community of Vaishnavas here a new program through the Institute for Vaishnav Studies and Seminary. The Institute for Vaishnav Studies was founded in 1980 and it got its first grant from the Smithsonian to protect more than 100,000 pages of rare Vaishnav manuscripts. And over the years, that has been the main work. Last year, I took up the responsibility for this institute and seminary, and we published the Journal of Vaishnav Studies. So if you go to the table near where the Abhishek is going on, someone sitting there, if you want to speak with me, ask questions, I'm happy to answer questions. And it's time for a good news. Are you ready to hear a little piece of good news?
Yes.
For the first time, we have a Vaishnav Institute of Higher Education recognized by the Florida Department of Education. Now we are authorized to grant bachelor's, master's, and PhD degrees in Vaishnav studies. And the Board of Trustees, along with our very hardworking team of staff and faculty, is beginning to take on students. And we have kept it a research master's. That means you choose what you want to become an expert at within the field of Vaishnava studies. So we have people here working on Vaishnavism and the environment. Vaishnavism and blockchain. Seriously. I've had an application. Somebody came in. Blockchain is the latest technology. And with your blessings and your support, I believe that we can become very articulate spokespeople on behalf of our previous acharyas. According to scholarly estimates, 68% of Hinduism is Vaishnava. Hindus are 1.3 billion people, so there are 700 million Vaishnavas on planet Earth. That means if the population of planet Earth is 7 billion people, every 10th person is a Vaishnava in one form or another. And there isn't a seminary, a place of higher education where people can come together and study this. Christians have hundreds of seminaries. There are 2,200 periodicals that publish Christian research. For Vaishnava studies, we only have one. Right? So we need your help, we need your involvement. If you want to practically demonstrate, Lord, I am yours, this is one way you can do it. Even if you're not interested in higher education, you know, a smile, a blessing is good enough. And I hope that the rest of your day and the rest of the week goes well. I know we all live busy lives, so Sunday is a time when we can all come together. And I wish you a very, very happy Rama Navami. Thank you very much.